least area. The applicant or property owner currently owns a total of approximately 85 acres or so of land. So it's essentially highlighted in yellow. However, Beacon has already indicates the location of the 105 by 110 foot leased area, which has been given a separate parcel number. It's my understanding that the survey in question of this 105 by 110 area was filed with the Recorder of Deeds office, so they do show it as a separate little parcel number. But the property owner does own a much larger parcel. Oops. Sorry about that. That one's messed up, sorry. Tried to pack a little too much in. Again, the representative is requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit, authorizing the construction of a new 190-foot self-supporting tower within this 60 by 55 fenced compound area, providing space for a total of 4 equipment shelters or pads for equipment. The current application was approved for concept on November 21st. Initially on the drawing, it's my understanding that the first carrier will be Verizon, and they show that initial pad, and then there'll be a total, I believe, of 3 additional pads or 3 additional co-locations. And here's a side view of the tower showing the initial antennas and then 3 possible future co-locations. The proposed telecommunications tower and equipment shelters or pads, again, would be located within the 60 by 55 fenced compound area. Basically, Verizon Wireless would have the initial antenna at the top of the tower and the initial outdoor equipment area, but they do plan to design this again to serve a total of up to 4 carriers. The site plan indicates the location of the proposed 190-foot self-support tower and the proposed Verizon Wireless outdoor equipment cabinet within the fenced compound area. The site plan further indicates the approximate locations for the 3 future equipment cabinets or equipment shelters. The vast majority of the 105 by 110-foot leased area will be cleared of trees and vegetation, and will of course be graded. The existing tree cover and vegetation throughout the remainder of the parent parcel, at least from my knowledge, will be preserved at this time. Since the 105 by 110 leased area has been effectively subdivided from the parent parcel, the staff recommends that a plat be reviewed and recorded for the property in question as a separate utility lot. Basically, the site and grading plans indicate that the tower will be accessed via a 12-foot wide gravel access drive. Basically, in utilizing the measurements as provided via the site plans, it doesn't appear that any existing structures would be located within 190 feet of the tower. I don't always know about the accuracy of this, but just engaging this, it comes out pretty close. It comes out from center of tower to the closest point of the house. It comes out at about 199 feet, and it'll be a 190-foot tall tower. However, the representative has already provided the Planning and Zoning Office with a copy of an engineering fall zone letter, which was sealed by a professional engineer from Valmont Structures, and it's my understanding that this is the company that will be both designing and also constructing the proposed tower in question. Since the tower is not over 200 feet in height, it's my understanding that the FAA will not require the tower to be lit. The adjoining property immediately to the north and to the east is predominantly vacant wooded property that's a part of the applicant or property owner's approximately 85-acre parent parcel. The adjoining property immediately to the south is Curtis Drive, with single-family residential properties being located further to the south. And the adjoining property immediately to the west is predominantly single-family residential lots. The project received a total score of negative 12 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 33. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of right-of-way on existing roads, use compatibility, and utilities. Excuse me. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves Division 3 permit number 2016-28, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Federal Communications Commission and the Federal Aviation Administration, if required. Three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials other than generators. Four, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Five, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. Six, prior to the issuance of the Division 2 permit, the utility lot plat shall first be approved by the Planning and Zoning Department and filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office. Seven, should the telecommunications tower no longer be in use for the original purpose granted by the Division 3 permit and serving as an approved co-location site, the tower shall be dismantled and removed within 6 months of the cessation of operations. And eight, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a very brief video. And essentially now it's just a large wooded lot. And this would really be the closest structure. And that's all the staff has at this time.
James. Anybody got any questions?
Is this tower built to where it will implode on itself if something was to happen?
Yeah, that's what the fall zone letter is for. And I have copies in case anybody wants a copy of the fall zone letter. But yes.
Yeah, that's what I understood reading this volume.
Yeah. 0 point fall zone letter.
Right.
What determines whether you put a tower like you've got in the prints here or using the monopole, because you can get about the same height out of both of them, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, the lattice
loading
towers...
Loading of antennas or...
Yeah, you can load a little bit more on the lattice towers, and they're a little bit cheaper to build, not a whole lot, but a little bit cheaper to build, and you can generally load more on them.
Okay.
So a little bit more, weight on them.
Well, I don't think it's going to bother anyone anyway, but... Seems like in some instances the monopoles are not as intrusive, I guess, in certain areas as this type of tower.
Right.
Okay, anybody else got any questions? Were you looking for something, George?
No, just familiarizing.
The reason I asked you that, I thought maybe you had a question.
No, good, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we'll see you 6 o'clock the 19th.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, old and new business amendment discussion.
And I didn't have a lot there other than on January 9th, I've gone ahead and advertised I know it's close to February anyway, but I was anxious to go ahead and propose some amendments to the nightly rental section. And so I thought I'd present some some draft recommendations January 9th. And that's all I really had at this point. I just wanted to give you a heads up.
that sounds good to me, because that's one that's pretty controversial right now. Probably could use a little tweaking.
So it's going to make it all crystal clear.
I hope. I don't know. that will be the intent. I don't know.
Yeah, that's always the idea. Yeah, you never know until you kick somebody else's dog.
Exactly.
Does anybody got anything? Any comment on what Bob's talking about?
Haven't seen what he has.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I haven't said.
Well,
he said, I haven't seen anything. Yet. I haven't presented anything yet. I've started working on something, but I haven't got it to a point where I'm ready to present it yet.
Yeah. I tell you, but I don't know yet.
Exactly.
We have language in there about applicants coming in for nightly rental just wanting to sell the property to try to get approval prior to selling the property.
I've considered even coming up with more than one proposal. just to see as a group which direction we want to go on part of it.
I personally don't like somebody coming in and trying to make something a nightly rental under a special use permit for somebody else. That's just about like when we had all this zoning going on a few years ago by a bunch of real estate agents, and it was for real estate purposes only. In other words, they wanted to charge more money, and we were aiding and abetting somebody else to do that, and that's why I personally like to see the applicant that's going to do the nightly rentals come before this body.
Own it before they bring it in.
That's right.
I agree.
That's my personal opinion.
I can see the other side, though, too.
Yeah,
that's tough to make happen.
If you're trying to sell it, yeah. I can too.
Yeah.
That's a seller, I absolutely.
That's not our problem, though.
I know.
What would be wrong with having a prospective buyer come in and make application for it?
We have done that before, and I can understand that, but you can have a contract between buyer and seller, and the contract hinges on whether it's approved or not. That's already there, and it's working well. So.
But then again, he's not going to be the owner that comes in to apply. It's all contingent upon. So basically, that's the same thing they're doing right now.
I just personally, when they bring something like that, I like to know who they're dealing with, not some agent for them. I have this saying, when a person brings a project in here and they've got a lawyer representing them, you know there's something wrong. Now, it just works out that way.
There's just an awful lot of gray area.
No, not anymore. You used to have a lot of it.
Getting better.
Are you relaxing, Rick, or are you thinking about something?
Well, this is going to be really hard to pin down on what needs to happen and what does happen on this rental. And it's going